I'm Stella Chavez in Dallas.
And I'm Laura Eisensee in Houston. It might help to look at this like a boxing match.
A match between two public school heavyweights.
Houston has a few more than 200,000 students.
And Dallas has about 160,000. The student body here is poorer, more Latino, and a little less white. That's partly because some of the richest, whitest neighborhoods are in a separate district, Highland Park.
While in Houston, the kids from River Oaks are zoned for city schools. To get a sense of how these districts match up, we're planning a three-round bout focused on academics, construction, and innovation.
First, let's introduce the current superintendents. In this corner, Dallas's Michael Hinojosa. He just stepped in as interim superintendent. Here he is at a back-to-school rally.
I'll be here for 10 days, 10 weeks, 10 months, 10 years, however long you need me to get this district going where you want it to go. And so they asked me to come in and step in.
In the other corner, 3.5 hours south on Interstate 45, Terry Greer is starting his 7th year running Houston schools. He made a surprise visit on the first day of class to a new, one-of-a-kind, dual-language Arabic school.
You know, it's so exciting. Every time I come, my first day of school here in Houston, I just don't think I can get more excited. And then we have another one.
Now for round one, Houston versus Dallas, academics. A superintendent has one job above all others, make sure students are learning.
We dug into the data a little bit, starting with the latest state rankings.
In Dallas, 84% of schools met the academic standards.
And Houston didn't do quite as well. 79% of Houston schools met standard. But when you look at the state measures for how much progress students are making, Houston has the edge.
But Dallas is ahead in graduation rates, 86%. That's 7 points better than Houston.
I don't know. I think it depends on what statistic you pull. And we could keep at it for a while.
Okay, let's bring in a referee.
Bob Sanborn, president and CEO of Children at Risk. We're a Texas-based research and advocacy group around children.
I'm here in Houston with Bob. So who's doing better?
Now, historically, Dallas has lagged behind Houston. The good news in all of this, right, is that Dallas is rising to around where Houston is.
So your organization, Children at Risk, you did your own ratings and you gave Houston a C.
And Dallas got a D.
These are big urban districts. So for them to get a C is spectacular, right? Because if we were to do this measure with big urban districts all over the country, you'd see a lot of D's and F's.
So, Bob, why is Houston getting higher marks?
Because when we look at sort of these high-performing, high-poverty schools, Houston has done historically very well. Now, Dallas is doing better than ever on that, but we're still not getting them up to the level that they need to be, really, in both districts.
So, Bob, when you take all of these things into account, how different would you say it is to be superintendent in Dallas versus Houston?
It all comes down to school boards and their tolerance for change. And the tolerance for change is seemingly a little less in Dallas. But the real need is for a lot of change in both districts.
Thank you so much, Bob.
Thank you.
Okay. So in this first round, academics, the numbers conflict a bit.
It sounds like a draw.
Next up, round two, construction. Maintaining buildings and keeping up with technology is another major priority for a school district. It also reflects how well a superintendent performs as an administrator.
In Dallas this fall, the school board is asking voters to approve its biggest bond package ever, $1.6 billion. It's going to pay for 9 new schools, more classrooms, more space for pre-K, new technology, and science labs. Christopher Enriquez graduated from Skyline High in Dallas. He now leads the local chapter of LULAC, a Latino advocacy group. He's worried about a technology gap in Dallas.
I think our district has fallen in that area. You go to other districts and they have all these amazing things, and we're not preparing our kids adequately if we don't give them the tools that they need.
Dallas hasn't had a major building program since 2008. One campus has as many as 20 portable buildings.
That bond proposal sounds a lot like what Houston voters approved a few years ago, nearly $2 billion to repair and rebuild 40 different schools. I asked the general manager of construction, Derek Sanders, how will this affect students?
The ultimate goal is to provide 21st century learning in all of these new schools. That means flexible spaces, collaborative learning environments, upgraded technology.
He says Houston is on track to finish the projects by 2020. So based on the numbers and the timing of construction, Houston takes this one.
Okay, now to the third and final round, innovation. This is how superintendents really set themselves apart. Dallas is in the middle of expanding pre-K and its school choice program. That means more schools focused on specific topics. Dwayne Simmons is principal of Pinkston High School, where plans call for a new career in tech campus.
It's about options. They can make viable, you know, living for themselves and be productive members of society with career certificates that don't necessarily require 4 years of college or postgraduate studies. And, you know, when we provide kids with options, it will dramatically reduce the dropout rate.
Dallas's last superintendent, Mike Miles, was all about innovation, and in some ways, that's what doomed him. Teachers, for instance, rebelled against a new evaluation system.
Here in Houston, Greer made a lot of enemies with his teacher evaluation system. It includes student test scores, and it's being challenged in federal court. Still, he doesn't let up.
I think we're the most innovative, creative school district in America, bar none. Public school, private school, I think that no one even comes close to a close second.
You can see this focus on innovation at the Energy Institute High School. Principal Lori Lampropoulos is aiming to change the equation with something called project-based learning. Students are constantly collaborating, working in teams.
Our goal here is to produce super kids. At the end of the day, you know, I kind of think of them kind of like superheroes. You know, they are going to be different than the average kid.
So, Laura, on this final round, it looks like Houston comes out ahead on innovation.
But Stella, I gotta say, there's a lot of promise in these initiatives that Dallas is trying.
Okay, let's review the first two rounds. Academics.
That was a draw. And construction?
I think a lead for Houston, but Dallas could catch up.
You know, what's funny is that even with all the turnover in Dallas and stability in Houston, there's not that big a difference.
Well, and that would support the findings of a Brookings Institution study last fall. It found that student achievement doesn't improve with superintendent longevity.
That sounds like it could set off a whole nother round.
Okay, let's put down the gloves for now.
Deal. From Houston Public Media, I'm Laura Eisensee.
And for KERA News, I'm Stella Chavez in Dallas.